Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I'm sure that I don't know everything that that verse means. It means a great deal. And I think that as we study the Word of God, we keep learning over and over the things that are going on and what God is teaching us through His Word. But here's one thing that it does not mean. This is what the verse doesn't mean. If you send your child to Sunday school and church when he is young, then when that child leaves home and becomes a rebel, one day they will return to the Lord. That's not what it means. We have a week, you and I do. We have a week to pour out ourselves into these children. The Bible says that we are the light of the world. City that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it gives light unto all that are in the house. And then he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I understand that when the Lord was transfigured on the mountain, that was on the inside came to the outside, and the disciples saw the glory of the Lord. Well, all of us are going to be transfigured this week. That's on the inside is going to come to the outside, and we want it to be God. We want it to be the Jesus that is living in us that people see. So we want to guard our steps and guard our mouth and guard our thoughts. Story is told of an old man walking down the seashore, and you have heard this many times. The tide had come in and left thousands and thousands of starfish up on the shore. And then the tide went out and left those starfish. Here's an old man walking down the seashore, and he was picking up those starfish one at a time, and he was throwing them back in the ocean so they could live. Someone came along and said, you're a fool. You're crazy. Look down this beach. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of those starfish. You are not going to be able to make a difference. And the old man reached down and picked up one more starfish and threw it back in the ocean. And he said, it'll make a difference to that one. You and I are going to be able to make a difference in the lives of one this week. We're going to be able to make a difference in the lives of many because we've poured ourselves into those. Every child is different. Everyone is different. And many of these children are not going to act like children that come from Christian homes because they don't come from a Christian home. They're not going to know how to act in service. We expect some child that comes out of a dysfunctional family, from a dysfunctional home, comes to camp for the very first time, signs up, he's scared to death or she's scared to death, don't know what's going on, and they're about half wild anyway, because they haven't had any training. And then they come into a worship service that we're getting ready to have, and we're expecting them to sit like our kids are sitting here today in this service. They're not going to do it. So we're going to have to sit with them. We're going to have to say, now you'll need to sit still. We're going to be quiet right at this time. We're not jumping around hollering right now. We're doing that just when the singing is going on. We're going to be quiet right now. We're going to listen to the speaker. And by the end of the week, they're going to be glued to what is going on. They're going to come out of that environment that they have been in. They're going to be away from video games. They're going to be away from the TV. They're going to be away from the wrong kind of music. and the wrong kind of atmosphere, and in about 2 days, that's going to be washed out of them, and the Holy Spirit of God is going to begin to work in their lives, and the power of God is going to come down, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit is going to begin to work in their life, and they're going to realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I've been doing camp about 40 years, and it took me a long time to realize that. Y'all have been around me. I mean, you know that sometimes I can talk kind of hard to them. One of our Awana leaders brought a child that was misbehaving to me one night, and I was chewing him out, and he was looking at me, and I looked up at the teacher, and the teacher was crying, and the child was just looking at me. Every child's different. They come from a different background. They come from a different home. They've had different experiences in their life. And for some of them, it's going to be they've come from awful experiences. And they think that's what everybody's like. They think that's just what life is like. And they're going to experience this week what a loving God is all about. It's going to be good, folks. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. The Amplified Bible puts it this way: train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word bent here means ability, talents, or personality. And you and I were created, and these children were created different. And we're all different. Aren't you glad that God made us all different? Different mental ability, different drive, different personality, different size, different interests, different shape. We sang a little song, God likes kids, any color, any shape, any size. You don't have to be an angel to be really special in his eyes. He said it in John 3:16, and he proved it on Calvary too. God likes kids, ordinary kids, kids like me and you. And he does. And he does. And when you and I are doing kids' ministry, when we're doing children's ministry, we know that we're touching the heart of God, because when Jesus brought the little children unto him, he said, these are the greatest in the kingdom of God. These are the ones that are the greatest. This is where we ought to be pouring ourselves out. This is what we should be doing. This is the ministry that we should be involving ourselves in. This word train comes from two words. I was looking at this this week, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but I was trying to put those two words together and see what those two words meant. And one part of this word means to throttle or to choke. And I thought, oh, there it is. That's what we've been waiting for. That's what we choke them. That's what we'll do. No, literally, it has to do with impulse, natural impulse in our throat. Has to do with the throat. And it means to touch the palate. So the Hebrew mother not being able to go to the store and buy Gerber food, would chew the food for the baby. When it got ready to come off the breast and was ready to start eating stuff off the table, but it couldn't gum it yet, it would chew up the food, put it on the end of these two fingers, and put it in the child's mouth. And here's where the throttle comes from. Run it to the back of that child's throat, and automatically a swallowing. You have somebody stick something in the back of your throat, you try to swallow it. That child would swallow. Influence swallowing. That child would swallow it. So it touched the palate of the throat. So what this verse means is that when you touch the palate, train up a child in the way it should, touch the palate and the things that it should have. You know what we're going to be doing this week? Now, you had your palate touched younger on. When you were young, when I was young, we had our palate touched with some things. And I use this illustration all the time. I had my palate touched with chocolate gravy and biscuits. I had it this morning. It's still good 64 years later. It's still good. I still like it. You had your palate touched with brown beans and cornbread and chocolate cake and fried potatoes and fried fish and spinach. No, maybe not. But you had your palate touched with things that it set your appetite for those things, and you still like them. So it's not really talking about food, is it? No, it's really talking about spiritual things. That you and I are to have our palate touched with the real things that are really going to make a difference in life, the spiritual things of life, that our palate's going to be touched with that, and we keep it. We have a hunger for that all the rest of our life. Now you think about it. A person that has not felt the spirit of the power of God in their lives. And the spirit comes down, and there's something moving. There is something going on that we have not felt. But it's good. It's good. It's meeting an appetite that's good and new, and it's meeting our need all at once. It's touching our palate with the things of God and the Word of God, and we read the Word of God, and then a hunger comes about us on the Word of God, about the Word of God, and we're having our palate touched with the Word of God. And we get a hunger for that. One starfish at a time. Back in the days of leather breeches, when I went to Siloam, Brother Shane, I know you look at my head and you think that I never did. But when we first came to Osage 24 years ago, we took, first 3 years we went to, what was that place? Emboden. Cedar Glades at you ever been there? We went there the first 3 years. That was a long trip. Some of you adults went. And we decided to go to the state camp. I never had been to state camp. We went to state camp. But the first year I went, they had a choir gathered from the kids that came to camp. It was huge. It was huge. And I mean, they shook the rafters. I mean, it was fantastic. And this big boy that was leading them was great. I mean, he had them. He had them. They were following everything that he said. He'd had them all week, and then they did a concert on the final night. It was fantastic. We were standing outside. Some of us adults standing out there where they used to keep the where this old soda pop and stuff, whatever that was. Here was a couple standing over here, and I just trying to socialize, and went over and stood by them, and I said, "Man, wasn't that choir something?" And that old boy leading them, I mean, he had it. I mean, he was filled with the Spirit. He really knew how to get their attention and to lead them in that. And it shook the rafters. It was great. And this couple began to cry. And they was trying to talk to me, but tears was coming down their eyes. And they said, "We hauled him on the church bus when he was this tall. We took him in the restroom on Sunday morning and washed his face and his hands and got him ready for Sunday school. One more starfish. You see, we've got this opportunity all week long to change a life. That there's a kid there that's going to give his heart and life to Jesus, that's going to be pounding away at the gospel as they live out their life." We're going to touch their palate this week. Every child in this camp is created by God to fulfill His purpose. God shaped every child with a certain inclination and interest. So God has given us the job of directing those inclinations and interest in the right direction. Look at it again. 139. Look at verse 15 and 16. "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written. In thy book all my members were written." God knew exactly what I was going to... I mean, He created me to be exactly the way I am. Now that, you know, I think that we can improve that or hinder that, or we can... the devil can get a hold of it and use it against us. I think that there's some different aspects of that. I mean, all we can use it to bring glory and honor to God. All of us are different. How are we going to do it? How do we do it? Well, don't prejudge them. Just observe, and then work with what you have. Use a lot of attaboy. Look at Proverbs 20. Oh, it's over behind. They put that on the back side of Psalms this time. 20 and verse 11. "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." So this is how we do it. I didn't read 12, did I? the hearing of the ear and the seeing of the eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Here's how we do it. We love on them, and we give them Jesus. We love on them, and we give them Jesus. And we do that even when we're tired. We do that even when they're cutting up. We do that when we're struggling to get them to do the right thing. We love on them and we give them Jesus. And we just remember all week, here's one more starfish that we're going to give a chance. We're going to throw back in the ocean. He's going to have a chance to live. That boy and that girl's going to hear the gospel. And Jesus is going to speak to their heart. Some of you that are here today were saved at camp. You gave your heart to Jesus at camp. And that's going to, we're going to have that opportunity this week to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. They're sinners. There's going to be difficult situations. But you know, the Lord may be making some adjustments in your life. He may be fine-tuning you as this week goes on into how you handle that situation that you're confronted with. Now, I don't mean just let everything rip. That's not, we can't have camp and do that. I don't mean that. But we can speak, we can make sure that every word that comes out of our mouth is with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, I told you at the beginning, I'm preaching to myself. You understand? I'm really needing this. I need someone to sit me down and say, now, Lanny, you can't holler and scream at them. You can't get them by the hair and shake them. I took a kid to Siloam that his children are coming to Awana's now. And he was walking around with a bag of ice. You could buy ice for 50 cents, I think, at people bought to put in their coolers at the camp. And I said, what on earth are you? I know he didn't bring a cooler. I said, what are you doing with that bag of ice? He said, I bought it to throw on people. I said, you're not going to do that. He says, my money. I'll do with it what I want. And I bought this ice, and I'm going to throw it on people. And when his head went, stopped bobbing from me doing this, he took the ice and got shed of it. And about 3 or 4 years after that, we were in a line over here getting ready to eat or something, and I was talking to some of these boys that had gotten up kind of tall, and they said something about making me mad, and I said, you hadn't ever seen me mad. And this little boy spoke up and said, I have. So don't shake them until their head bobbles. We got a great, great opportunity. Let's make the most of it. I could spend the rest of the afternoon talking about how we're going to minister to one another, but we are going to minister to one another. But you're wanting to go to camp. Let's stand together. If you're here today and do not know Christ as your Savior, would you accept Him today? Would you come forward in this service and give your heart and give your life to Jesus? If you were to die today, do you absolutely know where you'd spend eternity at? Because there's been a time in your life that you have invited Jesus to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior, and there was a change. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Anyone need to be saved today? Anyone need to recommit their heart and their life to the Lord today? Anyone here need to join this fellowship by following the Lord in baptism or moving your church letter or by statement that you've been saved and scripturally baptized? As we sing, we give you an opportunity to make a decision for Christ right now. As we sing, you come.